Modern Feminism. The Beastie Boys Girls, fantastic song. I like the way that they walk. 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We always like to throw a little bit of old school rap Alex Andrade's way, although I think a lot of times we play songs that were made before he was alive. So that's just the way it works. Alex, is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
As a 32-year-old, I can confirm.
Fair enough. I'll take it. Hey, I always appreciate somebody who goes back and enjoys music from before they were born. I enjoy music from the 60s, so it's fair enough. All right. End of session. It's going to be, what, Monday? We're going to finally wrap everything up because of the budget 72-hour rule?
Yep.
So we're gonna wrap?
Exactly. So
go ahead.
Just today the budget will be presented, but according to the Florida law, we can't approve and vote on the budget the same day it's published. We have to get it 72 hours to rest to make sure that we can fully study it and know what we're voting on.
It has to rise in a high humidity, low temperature environment for 3 days, and then we can actually punch it down and vote on it. You got a lot of budget items this year, is that right?
It was a very exciting year. When the budget was published, and everything was kind of confirmed, I ran over to Senator Broxton's office because you don't do anything, you know, by yourself, and Senator Broxton deserves, you know, far more credit than I do. But we just, it was a very, very good year for Northwest Florida. Money for new human trafficking programs, about $4 million to help storm harden the Baptist Hospital in Gulf Breeze. And we got language in the budget to help grow the state agency, the Florida Digital Service, Florida's cybersecurity defense systems, in conjunction with, you know, Quarry Station, everything we're doing here in Northwest Florida already. So it was just,
Separate from the one that Michelle Salzman was telling us about the other day, where working on getting a full department for cybersecurity at UWF. This is Quarry Station. This is a whole separate dimension of bringing more cyber here. Is that right?
Yeah, and an update, Senator, I believe Senator Broxton managed to get about $6 million to help, in operational funds for UWF. Which can be used if UWF desires, on some cyber programs if they believe that's the most important thing to them. We asked for Senator Broxton and I asked for $4 million for some capital outlay for Pensacola State College, and we ended up getting $5.5 million. I've never asked for money and gotten, $1.5 million more dollars than I asked for. In the state budget, so it was definitely a very good year.
Is this a byproduct of all of the federal money coming down and being available for everything, or is there something else at work here? I mean, why is it like that?
I think it's more a byproduct of Jay Trumbull and Jerry Williamson in the House Appropriations Suite, and Senator Broxton in the Senate Appropriations Suite, and me being willing to run back and forth to every office I need to go to. I think we have a very strong delegation this year. I'm just hopeful that kind of momentum doesn't go away next year when Jerry Williamson is no longer in the House.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that since you mentioned it. Jair's, retiring. That means he's going to, go back home, be a dad. But 6 years serving and to universal accolades for being a, sharp guy, easy to work with, a man of character, which is, of course, one of the reasons, I respect him. But I think because he's not the guy that goes around bragging about the stuff he does, people don't maybe realize how significant a player he has become for the Panhandle delegation. And I certainly can't begrudge a guy who's going to choose parenting over legislative duties, but it kills me that the last 2 years of his most productive years, we're just going to miss that.
No. Before I was elected, you had, I think Mike Hill and Frank White both served for one term in the Florida House before I was elected to House District 2. It's almost uncommon at this point for people to serve the full eight. The whole reason I ran was because I wanted you know, someone who'd be willing to stick around and, you know, treat House District 2 like the job that, like we, like you just referenced, someone who would stay there and serve for as many years as possible with the, like, and understand the job. And the job takes years to commit to serve it properly. So, I mean, while it's frustrating, Jared served for much longer than the majority of, you know, state representatives who've, you know, served in Northwest Florida traditionally.
Now, in fairness, with Mike Hill, I mean, he did serve in District 2 before he ran for Senate and lost to Doug, and then wound up serving in District 1 for. But, you know, he was there a little bit longer over time. But, yeah, that one-term turnover is hard for any district. I appreciate that. A lot of people are asking the question now, with gas prices going through the roof and seeming to be disconnected from the price of oil and all the explanations like Russia that are given for it, we look at these prices and it looks an awful lot like price gouging. It looks like taking advantage of a crisis to make a bunch of money. Is that your perception? And if it is there anything the state can do? Can the attorney general get involved here? Is there any recourse, or is it just, hey, private industry, this is how this works?
Well, it's not just private industry. I mean, it's, you know, what's our international policy in DC? What's our foreign policy? I mean, the OPEC is a price gouging organization. You know, it might as well be called the Organization for Price Gouging and, you know, a E word to explain dictatorship countries. You know, that's what I would consider OPEC. I mean, it's an organization of like Saudi Arabia, Argentina, Iran. I mean, these aren't good countries. And unfortunately at the federal level, we have, a president who wants to get us off oil dependence. Who's not been focused on things like, you know, very staple items hitting our pocketbooks. Unless you're focused on those things, you're going to lose control of the situation very quickly. And unfortunately, President Biden has. He's not been focused on things like that. He's been, you know, much more excited to say he's, if gas price. Last year, our energy secretary for the United States under Biden was saying if you're frustrated with oil, with gas prices, buy an electric car, which is just the most ridiculous, asinine, tone deaf thing I could possibly hear anybody say. It's unless you are making sure your foreign policy is addressing OPEC's monopolistic, anti-competitive price increases, you're focused on our domestic production, and you're doing everything possible to hedge off any kind of those threats, you're going to see what's happening today. It cost me $80 yesterday to fill up my tank so I can drive home today from Tallahassee.
For your part-time job, which, I appreciate that. And by the way, I appreciate that reframe, because I know I have been pretty sour on gas companies and gas stations, and I do think there's at least some blame for them. But you're right. It's much more complicated than that, and the international producers' unwillingness to produce more and our national energy policy are certainly related to all of this. And, yeah, it kind of cracks me up, the buy an electric car. In Northwest Florida, do you not know the FPL story? I mean, I'm not sure that anybody's getting the sweet deal by switching to electricity these days. Alex, I've been asking you this 3 weeks in a row, so this will be my last chance to ask. You and I both believe in the concept of ranked choice or instant runoff voting. By my read, it did not make it into the final elections bill, that is now actually going to be banned. Is that right, that you were not able to persuade the bill sponsor, to Danny Perez, to take that out?
Yeah, I brought it up to Danny Perez, and he said, When bills come back from the Senate, if we amend it, they have to get sent back to the Senate for more consideration.
Right.
And instead of risking the bill, you know, dying if we send it back to the Senate, he just left it alone. But the good news is that there's one provision in there that if we didn't have a carve out for non-charter counties, all of our county commissioners, all five of them, would have had to go on the ballot this year. Well, I guess good news or bad news, depending on who you are.
Oh, yeah, no, I'd favor putting everybody on the ballot this year.
Our commissioners are very happy about it. Our commissioners are very happy about the fact that, you know, some of them who were elected 2 years ago don't have to go back on the ballot this year because of a small carve-out in one provision of the bill.
All right, very good. And by the way, of course, it could always be undone in the future. You could have a delete amendment to take out those lines, you know, as in a subsequent round of legislative session. One small thing, and it's interesting that this went through so quickly right at the end, basically, is newspapers are no longer going to be the ones who are going to get the kind of the subsidy for having to put public notices in the print newspaper, right? It can go online. That's going to get signed by the governor, I assume?
I think so. And yeah, I mean, as I voted for a net metering bill to eliminate the subsidy the same way I voted for this bill to eliminate the subsidy by law, currently in Florida to provide the constitutionally or statutorily required notice for any number of legal activities or any number of governmental activities. You had to publish in a newspaper. You had to buy an ad in a newspaper. Chair Randy Fine, brought a bill, to say, well, you should have other options. You should be able to go, you know, use a website platform or use a government website platform and not just be forced to go buy ads from the, you know, Pensacola News Journal. I think it's a good policy. It eliminates a subsidy. And honestly, with the diminishing readership of a lot of newspapers around the country, I think it'll probably lead to more broad notice for a lot of this stuff. I mean, providing a government option, you know, so there you have one kind of clearinghouse website, could dramatically increase the number of eyeballs that are seeing some of these notices.
Yeah, it's going to save money for counties and cities. It's going to probably, as you said, raise access to the information. I feel for the newspapers losing revenue because we need newspapers, but if your business model is built in part on that subsidy from the government, it's not a justifiable, you know, business model. So I agree with that. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, again, thanks for all the time that you give us and inform people about what's going on. Thanks for driving back and forth and spending the exorbitant money on gas. And thanks for serving in the legislature. I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.